The other side is that holy shit, I just had a total, just my mind just went blank. I promise I had a good point. Steven, continue the show. Everybody, I need you to open up your phone, slide open, type in your passcode of 0000, and go to Instagram. Type in multicraft_daddy and send him a message. Multicraft Daddy is sending out PMI tape every single week to one lucky winner for you to be able to try or continue using. Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years have been providing the industry with top brands at competitive pricing. And if you mention the Printava Pod, you also receive 10% off your first order. Thanks, Multicraft.
Bruce, you shouldn't spend all day cleaning dirty screens. EasyWay's line of environmentally conscious chemicals will get the job done faster, more efficiently, and cost you a fraction of the cost per screen. At Campus Inc., we use 701 and 842. Those are our favorite chemicals. And if you value a company to help you with the how-tos, the best practices, and the questions, give EasyWay a try. They're the easiest way. They just went through a cool rebrand, and I'm really excited about the things that they are cooking up. So thanks so much, EasyWay.
Supacolor. Supacolor is the world's best heat transfers made by screen printers for screen printers. It's like the FUBU for heat transfers. They understand the pressures and expectations of a screen printing business, and so that's why they pride ourselves on being super fast and super easy. Their support is awesome. I mean, I definitely emailed them a few times with issues. They respond super quick and have really dialed it in and or even ship stuff overnight if needed. So thank you, Supacolor. Not only that, but if you mention Printavo 15, that gets you 15% off your order. Also, Supacolor's got some new stuff. DTF is here. So their quantities are lower. You can go to Supa DTF and give it a try. All right. Last but not least, Graphex Source. If you need a solution to help improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, 1-900-HOTSTUFF.com, aka Graphex Source, is there to be able to help. Mention Printavo Pod 24. That gets you 50% off your first vector, SEP, or digitized order. That's Printavo Pod 24. Campus Inc. has, drumroll please, how many artists at Graphex Source? Five? You have one hand?
Five.
He's got five artists. Five. That's pretty cool.
But that's back office, not just art. They're doing order entry. They're in Shopify. They're building online stores. We love our Graphex Source team.
Graphex Source. They're cranking for Campus Inc. And they can crank for you too. Trademark that. Sorry, guys. All right, guys. Let's jump on in the episode.
Who's older?
Matt's older.
By how many
years?
Is that
the wiser or more mature one or no?
I don't know. I'm less than a year older.
Oh, so you're basically the same
we
age.
We are the same age for a little bit.
Is that when Nathan has, Nate's got jurisdiction over the company for those, that window of time?
Yeah, the 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, you get to be in charge.
Matt and Nathan, we get to interview a lot of really cool companies on this podcast. I think in just like all the corners of the space, you know, from like, president of Bella to really cool print shops, international suppliers, manufacturers, all the way to, I don't know if I'd consider you guys startup really, but kind of startup. I mean, it's, you know, under 5 years or so, really being able to hustle on the wholesale and retail hat side. And you guys have an incredible story diving in. And so this was a bit different. And I always love a good different episode. And when I was going through the notes, I was like, wow, okay, cool. I'm excited. If we could talk about Atonal Headwear, you guys got started over COVID. What was the impetus?
And just so everyone that's listening, if you don't know Relentless Merch, these are the Relentless Merch guys. And yeah. So they have started a new venture out of their company. Is this a separate company?
Totally separate company.
Okay. So you are a successful screen printing and embroidery company, Relentless Merch. You can see them. Matt's always buying and selling used equipment. You're hustling used equipment. Yeah. You're running a very successful company, and then you decide, you know what? Why don't we just light that out? Why don't we just start something new and get into the headwear game?
Yeah.
Is this the long-term effects of COVID, like COVID brain?
Dude, I think so. Honestly, I think everybody in the headwear space or embroidery space felt COVID. If it were like you were trying to get the YP Classics, you were trying to get the Richardson, there just was not enough hats, and there just a lot of it was like situations with containers on the water still like waiting like to be like, you know, like shipped, or they were stuck in docks. Perfect. Yeah, and ports. So a lot of it just came from pure necessity that we needed those 112 style truckers. We needed we have more hip hats, so we needed more hip hats. Just couldn't find anything that was either in stock or, you know, like was affordable at that time. And so we were like, you know, screw it. Let's see what it takes. And so we kind of did it dirty, figured out how to source a few things, you know, air freighted it, lost, you know, more money than made on the first couple of rounds. Like, but
oh, what? Just wrong sizing, know, wrong colors? What?
Like bad fits. Honestly, just like realizing that you have to pay an import bill, like pay tariffs, like dumb, you know, simple stuff like that, that we're like, hey, like we, but at least we got our clients to or the hats they needed. So they were happy. But yeah, at that time it was just kind of a mess. And so we're like, screw it, let's start this company. It ended up taking like 2 years to start. So we launched last year in February or March at that Impressions Atlantic City show. And yeah, now we're a hat company. So,
and the irony is you're the Richardson brothers that couldn't get Richardson hats. So
yeah,
you should,
they did give us an account though.
Oh, you finally got an account?
No, we've had an account, but that was my argument is
they've since suspended it though.
They probably are going to here soon.
So, okay. So like at what point did it make, I understand the model is like, we did it for ourselves. Now let's do it for everyone else. Right.
Yeah.
At what point, how much volume were you bringing in personally through like for relentless needs? Like what, and then you decided like to do it for everyone else. Like what was going through your head to apply that logic?
I don't know. I think it was mainly just like we had brought in maybe 1 to 2K hats, nothing too crazy, but we were like, hey, you know, we have to bring these hats in anyway. Why not sell them to our friends? And so we started selling them to our clients. Our clients had referrals to other shops and we're like, hey, like we don't want to steal business from anybody. Like I know that there is sometimes good to have legacy products that are solely for your shop, but we didn't necessarily want Atonal to be that. We wanted it just to be like a cool hat. So we were like, okay, like we'll start figuring out how to do it. And so we, you know, started a Shopify and just were selling them to our friends. And then just were like, okay, like let's take this a little bit more serious. So we like, you know, I think our first order was like 20,000 hats.
Whoa.
And just, yeah, we went from like 2,000 hats to just ordering almost a full container.
And so wait, your first customer's order was 20,000, or like the first inventory position you took was 20,000 units?
The first inventory, yeah. Yeah, we still have yet to have a $20,000 hat or a 20,000 hat order.
I mean, so even taking that anyone, inventory is serious.
Yeah, it's definitely takes up room. yeah.
That's true.
That's been a battle, but yeah, we just kind of felt that, hey, if we're going to do this, like we're going to like, I don't know, Matt and I like have this saying that I think he learned when he was working auto body is don't talk about it, be about it. And so we always just kind of like flirted with the idea. And then we were like, screw this. Like we're just going to go in and try it and yeah, order 20,000 hats.
I mean, that's, you know, yeah. I don't know, 50, 60K of inventory, maybe more. But I guess you're going to the trade show, you know, you're taking it a lot more seriously, but, and I guess you don't have to deal with sizing as much of an issue like with shirts. Hmm. And
yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Moore came up to me and he was like telling me how hard the business was, 'cause he's done it. And he was like, but you don't have sizes, you know? And I didn't even really even think of that at that point in time. So I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay. Making this conscious decision is kind of like, it kind of feels like you had some fun money. You're like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do it. How does this pair with Relentless, your time between the two? Because this is a long play. This is not a get rich overnight. This is like grassroots, starting from the ground up, and you're already running a successful company. What's the time commitment? Like, how do you guys split your time between the two? What's that like?
Honestly, like I did not realize with Relentless and with custom apparel, there's equipment and supplies, but there's no like big bulk commitment of cost. And that's been something where we realized, hey, like we're going to need a lot of money to work with the clients we want to work with or shops, even like us. And so it's been a challenge is figuring out, hey, like we're not going to make money and we're going to have to throw money at this for quite a while until we're probably not going to profit for 5 years. So I'm glad we don't have anybody else on board that's like, hey, like you guys are idiots. But yeah, I honestly splitting time, I probably spend an hour to two a day on Atonal and then about 8 hours with Relentless. Relentless, we still have a bunch of projects. Even some of them are simultaneously the same thing. We use the same fulfillment people for Relentless as Atonal. Like we have a warehouse next door that like our team takes care of anything Atonal. Right now we're shipping out like 4 to 7 boxes a day. Like we're not shipping huge volume by any means. So it's not like it's a lot for something that's currently losing, but we're just gambling it and seeing if there's any capacity that we can turn it into something. So
how do you, okay. So I think a lot of people consider this. I mean, Steven, you do wholesale jerseys as well. You guys have your own brand. I mean, it's, you know,
we take inventory positions. Yeah. We're sitting on almost $250,000 of inventory. Yeah. It sucks.
A lot of people have a second business that may be on the retail side. And so I think a lot of folks think about wanting to get into something secondary. And kind of building off what Steven's saying with this is like, all right, I do want to dive into it. I do want to give it a shot. Was there a point where Relentless was at where you felt comfortable doing it, or, you know, or is it still, you know, it's not maybe there's never an ideal time per se. It's just, you felt more so dragged into it.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really a good financial time. We're still like, you know, January hits. We're still putting like money on the credit card. We're still having the dump into cash flow. Like it's more or less like, hey, can we spare this so we can try to build this thing that's semi-attached to Relentless, but it grows the ship and makes the ship move. And I know it's necessary to have something like a differentiator in our business. So if for some reason let's say DTF takes over the world, hey, we got hats that they can DTF on. So, I don't know if there's ever like a right time to do it though. And maybe somebody else has the answer where they have a couple million in the bank that they're like, hey, I can finally start this new business. But what I don't know, even looking at
like Steven on that, like kind of just building off what Nathan's saying, right? Like it's probably not an ideal time either. Like in case like you have a million things going on, but what made you say, all right, we need to create a label jersey and inventory it and do this.
Yeah. I think you always have your fallback, right? And it's like when you're starting your second business, you're going to do it so much more efficiently. Justin Lawrence was kind of telling us about this when he's got his disc golf and his dispensary. He's like, you just work so much differently. But then in the back of your head, you know, like I'm also a customer myself, right? So like the same way with you guys with Atonal is, if all goes to hell and, you know, Matt, you know, goes to a trade show and, you know, does something crazy and no one wants to buy Atonal hats anymore, ever again, at least Relentless can sell them, right? Like, it's not like the end of the world. Do you ever think about that? Like, if this doesn't work, we're not going to go broke. It's just going to suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm curious, when you're starting your second, I mean, you guys have, you know, I don't know if this is your second business or not.
Yes.
It's your second business. What are you doing different? And what's interesting is you said something quickly. You said we're using shared resources. Like, we're using our fulfillment team from Relentless to help us out there so that we don't really have a ton of payroll. We don't need to pay ourselves. We don't really have employees. We're only shipping out 4 or 5 boxes. So like, we actually have a stable business that's supporting it. But what are you doing differently this time around versus when you guys were starting Relentless back in the day?
Well, I think one of the first things is we started Relentless with like $1,500 and a Ryanet starter kit. You know, like,
let's go.
It's the just, Ryan it's Hopkins a different
one or ballgame. The silver one?
The silver one, baby. Yeah.
So I guess Riley wasn't a part of that.
I think I could have bought a Riley, but I bought the starter pack with the DVDs, and we just had no capital to start something, and we were just winging it. And I think we're still doing that to an extent today.
You guys have grown around this quite a bit. So there's all these lessons learned that if you started the print shop again, it would be, I'm sure, a bit different than how you guys started. You just didn't know about all this stuff. You didn't know about trade shows and the right people to hire and how to hire. And like, to that point, there are things that you could add to this, to Atonal, that maybe you're thinking about and already doing subconsciously. There has to be.
Yeah. And honestly, one thing that kind of changed my mindset of how we start and how we try out businesses, because, you know, I have a woven blanket business that I've been flirting with for a while. And just like Matt and I, you know, you guys are in the same boat. We're all entrepreneurs. I listened to a podcast with the like owner of or like the CEO of Netflix. And he said, like, hey, just start it super micro. And if micro is works, do macro. And like, don't take something that is this grand idea and spend $100,000, $200,000 into it without knowing that it won't work. Like, if it works on the micro, it will have a better potential on the macro side of it. And so I think he had like a friend that has tried this dating app or like trading out clothes or something that he like mentioned. But yeah, it's one of those things where we were like, hey, like, let's try doing on this on a micro level. Like, let's order in a couple hundred hats, see if people like it, see if we can actually do it, see if we can actually sell them, and then move it to that next level. But yeah, there's definitely things that are way different where, you know, we have a warehouse already. We don't have like, you know, we're not out of our college party house starting out this hat company, which it's you're definitely part-time
staff on it. I mean, you went to the trade show right away. I mean, how long did until you knew about a trade show back starting a shop? I feel like it was years and you're like, wait a second.
But I think what's cool, and this, I mean, me and Matt are on the board of decorators together for Gildan. We, you know, we have a circle of people we talk to all day, every day. When you build a solution for yourself and you believe in it, it's really easy to turn it around and sell it to others, especially your friends. And so, I mean, it's interesting to hear your go-to, like, if I were starting a hat company and knew nothing about the industry versus you guys starting a hat company and knowing everything about the industry, it almost seems like you got in a marathon, you got a 5 mile head start.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. So I'm curious, like, in that head start, what were the quick moves that you made right away? Like, okay, we have to do this. We have to do this. You did go to a trade show right off the gate, which I don't know how expensive that was for you, but I hate our trade show bills.
Dude.
How much was a trade show?
We don't know.
I would say like it's about 15K.
Whoa. Like, oh, you got in a big booth then.
No. So, I mean, if you think like transporting your whole team, you have the booth, you have lodging for your team, kind of everything inclusive. If you think about it in that realm,
carpet,
I think, you know, I think the booths internet are about 4K ish. So, yeah. But yeah, like all together, I'd say 12 to 15K most of the time.
For like the a 10 by 10. The key is
you got to return everything. Oh, God,
dude. Bruce. Okay. I got a story. So early Printavo, like trade show one, two, three, and four. Trade show one, Bruce didn't get me lunch and his Cursette girlfriend at the time, wife now, was like, we should probably get this kid some food. But Bruce would buy everything from, he would fly into the trade show, buy everything from, I'm putting you on for this. Buy everything from Target, We would
Walmart because they didn't care.
Oh yeah. And then like the TV, everything, set it up and then return it when the show was over. And then Bruce didn't know about UPS shipping. So we would fly with everything. And then you discovered UPS. And so then 50 freaking boxes would get shipped to the UPS and we have to go rent a freaking minivan. UPS
pickup. We were making a software company. We weren't shipping anything. So.
You know, continental breakfast. Always stay in a hotel with continental breakfast, right?
Yeah, free breakfast.
You get the waffles. You get the Kia Fit. We'd have a 2-door car rental. But at a trade show, you'd still spend, you know, 4 or 5 people. You had 15, 20 grand in a weekend. And you're like, boom.
That was does go fast.
Yeah.
Did you, sorry, Bruce, I exposed you. I'm sure your employees would enjoy listening to that.
Banned from Walmart's from 5 states.
Yeah. But that being said, you guys were there at the show. Are you seeing an ROI on being present at those?
I think the ROI on being present was good, but I think that some of the video content that was filmed, you know, Money Merch just posted, you know, we did one with another company. Those videos really hit. And I think those actually did even more damage than the deal, but it wouldn't have happened if we weren't in California.
Can you explain what you did with those videos? I think I didn't even see them. Yeah. So I'm really interested in this.
Yeah.
We love content.
So I actually, we were hit up by Superline Wholesale, and they did a video for us, promoting our headwear and our brand. And I think we had like 1,000 follows in like 3 or 4 days. So it was a huge momentum. And now I think they're going to be stocking our hats in their wholesale, spot, which is honestly great because we don't have the ability to, like, you know, we sell direct to customer. If you want to spend $10 on a hat, like, we're not going to give like wholesale pricing, but they kind of have a little bit better tiered system than we do. And they're in Atlanta. So we finally are like, have some presence on the East Coast, but, yeah, that video did us a ton. Money Merch did one for us and that did a ton. But yeah, just like the social interaction with people. The Atlantic City and the Texas shows, we did have some good presence. You know, like what you guys said, we do it dirty until we don't have to. Like, we originally didn't get the scanner like on your phone, and then we realized, oh, like,
gotta have,
how are we going to have, yeah, like it's such a necessary thing that we're like, oh,
we wrote down business cards originally, but it's awful.
Yep.
it's awful. And there's typos and it's terrible. Getting into the weeds of like growing a business like this, I'm curious, you know, you order, was it 20,000 hats or so. You know, where do you put them? Like, how do you set up a warehouse to, I'm just thinking of, okay, so, you know, you've got, looks like 9 styles, a bunch of different colors underneath each style. Like, I'm just thinking about organizing a warehouse to be able to ship this. And, you know, how does that work?
Right now we're in the process of really diving into that a little further. We just really put together our warehouse this last probably 3 months ago. And it's getting more organized by the day, but that is the real challenge in this game for sure, and we're finding that very quickly.
You have 9, I don't know what you call them, styles.
SKUs.
And then under each one, how many colors for each one on average?
So all together, we have 33 like SKUs with colorways and everything. And really, we have anywhere from like 1,000 to 10,000 stock right now, and trying to get everything to that 10,000 range, depending on, you know, if we can fit the stock. So
are you doing, okay, so here's just some things. So you can go to atonalheadwear.com and you can buy direct, like we can buy one hat, right? But that's probably not the goal. That's just a way to raise brand awareness, I imagine, and get it out there. You want wholesale orders from shops like myself, right?
Yes.
How, or no, both, like, do you want to be selling direct to consumer? Is that the, like, I'm really interested in the kind of play between D2C and B2B.
Honestly, I think we took the AS Color approach where they sell direct to customer, but they, you know, they have their markup on it. Like they sell it at, you know, if their shirts are $5 to $6 wholesale, like they're selling it for $12 to the client. So it's more or less like if we have like brands, like people without tax IDs, like, you know, the average Joe that just, you know, wants to support us or wants to like wear the brand, just wants to wear a cool blank hat. Like those people can buy it for $10. And then any like, you know, decorator or like print shop embroiderer, like can get the wholesale pricing. So
what's the split in, are you getting a lot of D2C like conversions and stuff? Like, is that happening naturally?
I think after that super line, because a lot of those people were not like exact ideal clients, but they do build the brand. So, and that's, I feel like a lot of what we've learned over the last year is you got to build this brand so people recognize the brand and they trust it, because, you know, Richardson, like, people's some of people like, you know, the person that's buying Richardson hats now, that was their first hat when they were a kid. And so you're kind of having to try to break away from somebody that has had that childhood identity of this was their favorite hat and put this new brand into their face. And, you know, even our clients are, we have a 112 replica and it's, you know, we sell it a little bit, but we're not selling it a ton to our clients still.
I'm curious, what do you guys, so when, you know, you put in what could sound like a couple $100,000 into this, I don't know, I'm just guessing. You are popular in the space, so you know that people are going to support you because, you know, you guys have a really good reputation and stuff. What's your North Star? Like, you know, Bruce and I were talking about this at Campus Inc. because, you know, we have a lot of North Stars right now. Is it signing schools? Is it hiring students? Is it, you know, making money for athletes? Like, what is it? Do you guys have like a guiding principle of like signups or anything that you look at as a North Star?
You got this, Matt. I mean,
I think it's, in my mind, it's just getting other shops like us to sign up, you know, just even getting them to sign up and start watching what we're doing, see what new styles we come out with, maybe something unique spot, you know, catches their eye and they're like, oh, well, I could offer that one pattern to somebody, this customer, you know, because it's kind of like AS Color kind of drew us in with that stripe tee years ago. And we've stuck around and now we sell tons of staples every day, you know, and that's kind of like if we can get them in with that unique style and then maybe like they realize our dad hats are actually similar price to another competitor and better quality. I think that's really where we're going to win.
Yeah, it's almost like because you can you make a wholesale account and like order wholesale and stuff? Yeah, you can.
Yes.
Right. And so like maybe your North Star is how many new wholesale signups can we get? Can we get 30 new wholesale signups this month or 50? And maybe it's not even, you know, getting them to buy, but naturally, if you can every single day try to get a couple more people to just register for account, then you can start training them to sell and things like that. They call that like what a customer acquisition, like CAC, customer acquisition cost or whatever. Are you guys doing any like paid marketing or is it very still like grassroots? Tell us about how you're actually thinking about getting into it or how you're doing it.
Honestly, it's pretty grassroots. We're, you know, in our compared to a print shop, there is only 100 hat companies, right? So in a like 100 wholesale hat companies or less. And so a lot of it is just us being able to like DM our shops that we like and be like, hey, like we would love to like send you some samples. And so I'd say like the most paid part of it is just sending out samples to clients and just seeing if they like it. And honestly, hearing their thoughts, like we're still in like, you know, still in beta mode where we're still fixing our product and making sure it's perfect for our clients. You know, we have had a lot of suggestions over the last year that have completely like fixed our product. So, Yeah, and it's also interesting to like we just changed the like dimensions on our rope hat, like but like the rope a little bit thicker, and even changing those like micro things is you have to figure out how to like train the customer of, hey, like this is now going to be a little bit different when they originally have seen the original product. So
you're also on WhatsApp, Chuck, and chatting with someone in China.
Yeah, you're doing product development, right?
Random like, hours. Yeah.
We heard at Long Beach like over and over again that our woven tags needed to be removed. And I think that next round, we're probably going to actually remove our wovens in there and make it so it's just a tearaway label.
Hmm.
That's good feedback. Giving
another people
good reason to be at the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. We heard it, I would say 100 times. It was pretty heavy. And, I know there's a lot of clothing brands in California. We didn't hear that in Texas. But, having that ability is something that I don't think any other hat company has other than maybe Value Cap, but I think they do that more of just as a price conscious thing. So,
and so maybe, I don't know. I think that's really interesting. Like you listen to your customer, rapid prototype and change. And then you can almost lean into that and say like the only hat company with all tearaway labels, like,
yeah.
And it's like, did I just give you $1 million idea? Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be the line on our site.
But when you do that, you literally are solving a problem. It's like, oh, that's the company that lets you tear away labels, right? Because that's something that a bunch of us really, really want. I think what's also really interesting is when you look at a business and you do like a market analysis, you look at your addressable market. So, and then you look at your serviceable market. So like an addressable market would be everyone who wears a hat or like, you know, everyone who buys hats wholesale could be an addressable market. But then you look at like the serviceable market of, okay, there are 2,000 Printavo shops or 3,000 Printavo. What if we just target those and we just become obsessed with, you know,
that niche,
right? I think that's what's really interesting about companies like GraphX and Supacolor is they're at every trade show. They sponsor every single event. They're friends with all of us. And then naturally, their serviceable market is their community and the community just supports it. So I think it's actually pretty cool, the approach you're taking. And I don't know, are there any other companies that you look at in the space kind of trying to do the same thing that you try to model? I know you said AS Color, but yeah, what do you guys look at for inspiration?
I think Nate's been referencing a lot of classic looking stuff, you know, really looking back at like the 90s and what happened there. And I think that it's really kind of looking back, at least style wise, how AS Color has grown and, you know, not going through a major distributor. Just as to me, all the really nice value focused stuff, like you feel like you got a good deal buying from some of these companies. And it's when you're buying direct, you know, you're not buying through a wholesale distributor.
But I'll play devil's advocate for a second. Wouldn't you like to be an SNS? Or Sanmar?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing is relentless orders from SNS every day. We order from AS Color. If we order from AS Color maybe once every, 3 to 4 days? So if AS Color was direct, and honestly, if Lane 7 was in SNS instead of Alpha, no disrespect to Alpha, but if they were in SNS, like, and we could get it in a day, we'd use it more. So that's, you know, we're flirting with that. And, you know, we've had a few conversations, nothing, you know, we're at such a micro level that there's no ability to have leverage in that kind of world.
Like, right. Yeah, but it's such a relationship driven business. Right. And so like, you know, I know some folks from SNS that are listening to this, like Frank Good, what's up? I know you listen to this. Like, this is a great story that you guys could, you know, SNS could take to the industry and say, look, this is one of our best customers. Our customers now turned into our partners and a manufacturer of ours. And now we're going to turn around and make that available to everyone. And what's crazy is if you look at the powers that be at SNS, Sanmar, and Alpha Broder, we're only a couple degrees removed from them, you know? And so I think it's actually something where like, if you can crack the right code, something like this could actually blow up overnight. And companies like that actually want to help you succeed because it makes them innovative, different. I almost look at it as like a Anheuser-Busch buying a microbrewery, right?
Yeah.
I do think that you push the brand into it. So they almost have to work with you at some point. If you get to a certain size, it's like, all these customers want this. We need volume. And it's like, getting to that point, which is probably one of the most difficult parts, but it's like, they have to do business with you at some point.
Yeah.
If you're able to grow to a certain size.
But look at our industry. So like, okay, two companies that come to mind, PMI Tape and Easy Way, only sell through distributors, right? But then they're like, hey, we're going to give you all the resources, the education, and just keep your shelf stock and just like go, right? I don't know. I think that's one of the best parts of Easy Way and PMI Tape from running a company standpoint, as I talked to like Andrew and Alex about it, versus like shipping out yourself. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what's wild is the characteristics that you guys talked about why you work with certain companies and order more from them is very interesting as could those characteristics be a part of Atonal, right? I mean, it's like hard to do one day ship to people or, you know, have a lot of variety or whatever it is. But those are like those friction points. Like when Bezos talks about, I focus on what customers want 100 years from now. He's like, they want things to be there as quickly as possible. They want free shipping. They want like no friction, one click purchases. They don't want to have to think about a ton of different options. They want variety. And so he's like, those are the things they focus on, not the other things of like, what don't they want or what could the future predict? But yeah, it's kind of what you guys talk about. Like, how do you think about that, Stephen, with the jerseys and even, I guess, even more detailed, like forecasting? That seems like such a difficult aspect with so many SKUs. And I'm curious to hear after with Nate and Matt, with you guys too, but like, Farrick, is there a software or is it just guessing or
just... feel the air. So we hedge. So what Bruce is referring to is we provide a college NIL jersey for every athlete of our schools, right? And so right now we're live with like 50 schools. We have almost 8,000 athletes on there. So a lot of the stuff are just blanks from SNS, but we do have our private label jersey. And so what we do is we bring in a blank jersey finished with the school, and then we DTF it on demand. And so our sell through is essentially how many jerseys the school is going to sell in a period of time, which that takes a little bit of gambling because a school could suck. Nebraska could go off, right? And then, you're out or you sell out. And so, you're constantly, our VP of marketing, Kelsey, did a bunch of demand planning and forecasting like early on in her career with Abercrombie. And she talks about like the sell through times, and then based on that, how quickly we want to bring stuff in, and then what's our risk at any given point in time. But it's a lot of manual work. We are not, we're kind of building a lot of our own tools as we need them, but there's no out-of-the-box solution for our situation per se. I'm curious, are you guys starting to use a warehouse management system or anything like that?
Or a magic eight ball?
Honestly, no. honestly, with forecasting, we're still so micro, and it's hard to tell when certain things are going to go. Normally, I can tell just based on I'm in the shit every day, so I'm like making sure, like looking at what we sold that day, kind of doing my own mental forecasting. And then placing the orders based on that. And, it seems like we always have a container on the water of some capacity. But yeah, you never know when you're going to sell through like 5,000 or 2,000 of one SKU. And once that happens, you're like, oh crap. Like, we're such a small company that like it's going to take another 2 months. So normally
to ramp up an order, like if you're out.
Yeah. And so normally it's like, hey, we're trying to just deep stock everything and that first, and we're still getting to that point where like every order we get closer to like a comfortable level of inventory for the right clientele that we want. But yeah, it's, we don't really have a good reason or like rhyme or reason to forecasting yet, but
man, props to you guys. That seems very difficult.
It's a mess.
Yeah, I feel like when you were like, yeah, we've got a, you know, a container out on the water all the time, I'm like picturing just like the price of containers and stuff. You're watching on one screen, you've got Printavo quotes on one screen, and like, you know, yeah, inventory predictions, you know, Excel sheets on the other.
But I think the cool part is you're learning like a new muscle. Like you're learning a completely new muscle of like, okay, how do we get a product market fit in the industry quickly? You know, how do we demand plan? How do we make sure we look legit enough and we have stock? Do we want to go direct? Do we want to go wholesale? Like all of these challenges, they're also going to make you more of a badass at Relentless too, right? Like there's kind of a byproduct. And you guys just printed for the Chiefs, right? You guys did Hot Market?
Did Hot Market.
Whoa, how was that?
Yeah, how was that?
It was exhausting.
How many units? how many units? How long? What'd you guys do?
I think we did like 9,000 something. Yeah, we had all hands on deck. It was, our press ops were just dead tired at the end of it. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That's a new thing for us.
But you're playing with bigger fish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, it started a conversation with our licensing department at UNL. Like, you know, there's certain stuff that we benefited from doing that, that kind of Hot Market just on a regional level. And yeah, we've been trying to get licensing through our like local college for, man, I think 8 years now. And now we're kind of realizing, hey, like, let's go take care of like my alma mater, like UNK. Let's take care of all the small schools in the state. And then when they realize, hey, like there's this print shop from Nebraska or from Lincoln kind of taking care of everybody else besides us, hopefully they eventually jump in. But yeah, it's a beast.
But I think what you're also doing is Shirt Show invited me on their live on Sunday night, Shirt Show Sunday night live scaries from bed. And we were talking about luck. And you're saying like, you know, when you kind of continue to grind and you do all this grassroots work and you're putting yourself out there, you're increasing your surface area for luck or the opportunity for luck to kind of find you. And like, what I feel like is happening, if I could look into a glass ball, is like there's a big break coming for Atonal. Something's going to hit or someone's going to pick it up, or maybe like a Printful is going to carry it in their inventory or something. And it's like once that hits, it's like, boom, we're cruising at 30,000 feet, you know? So I feel like, you know, it's almost March. Luck's coming your way.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, that's another Sunday scaries, is if we do blow up and sell out of all our inventory, how do we find the next financial capital to like get to that next tier of business?
What I've learned is if you sell out of stuff, the banks are more likely to give you money than if you're sitting on a lot of inventory. From experience. But like that's a great problem to have, right? Like, you know, that means, you know, selling out isn't a bad thing. You'll figure it out when you get there. Someone will fly you'll call Rich and Carlo to charter a jet for you for hats. But like, have you ever thought to do that? Like you talked about that Superline influencer kind of model. Have you thought to put it in the hands of like a musician and be like, yo, Rich, Carlo, like push this on a couple people, see if we can get some hits here. Have you tried to go that influencer route at all?
A little bit. So we've sent it to more influencer shops. We have some unboxing things that are happening. And then, you know, I have some friends. So Relentless prints for a lot of music industry. And I like toured a lot. So I'm trying to get more of the rock band, emo rock band kind of world to attach to it. I know we've had luck with like the punk and hardcore scene. Just they've kind of embraced us as like, I think it's just because our name is Atonal and it's a reference to dissonance, and like, you know, music. And so I think they kind of have attached to us a little bit with that too. So, as far as like traditional influencers, we haven't really flirted with it too much, but
yeah, I've heard, have you guys heard of what's going on with TikTok Shop right now?
No.
So TikTok Shop, basically TikTok's way of getting into the market. There are products going viral right now for no reason on TikTok because of the new like algorithm for TikTok Shop. Basically what's happening is brands can put their products on there and anyone can push it and make money as an affiliate. And so what's happening is like, it could be like a random thing, kitchen appliance or something like that. And it'll just start to go viral because more and more people just start pushing it. And what TikTok's doing is like dollar for dollar covering the affiliate fees so that the sellers feel good about pushing their products on TikTok Shop. I think they're doing like hundreds and millions of dollars of essentially like free promo for it. So I don't know. That's why I was maybe Atonal's gonna make TikTok top charts.
It's a great idea.
Be the first TikTok hat, you know?
The first TikTok. Have you thought about what can be, okay, obviously your hats are really cool. You know, have you thought about something crazy unique to do with them that like no one else has done? Like embed a Neuralink in there, like
yeah. A little no, on I mean we've had some like we have some ideas and some like things that we've like tech packed and honestly a lot of our hats and what it's kind of one of those things where we go from what is our taste and what we know will like do well to what we can do to like differentiate ourselves. And that's something where even like going and doing those 90s style starter, like the game, like hats like that, that were from the 90s and we're kind of doing an homage to them. We've won big on, you know, but it's one of those differentiators that they'll do that. And then they'll find out that we have a $4 dad hat that's just as nice as an American Eagle dad hat. So, yeah, we've flirted with it and doing some crazy shit, but we have not landed on
what are some of the crazy ideas. I'm curious.
My latest was, I keep hearing foam truckers, like everyone's doing so many foam truckers and, it exists, but a neoprene trucker, you know, like we get neoprene koozies all the time and the foam koozies, neoprene's way better.
I mean, I don't know. Look at the what's that company, Melon or whatever? They sell like a $60 yeah. hat. That's yeah. like the Lululemon of hats. Bruce, don't get on there.
dude, they're so sick. Melon stuff's cool and they differentiate themselves completely that anybody that does something similar looks like they're knocking them off. So I like we've flirted with doing a hat with the what do you call it on their back, like the
laser cut.
Yeah, like the laser cut like holes and stuff, but it always just comes I just don't want to rip anybody that's current off. But
yeah,
unless it's traditional, you know.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, have you guys ever thought to work with like a marketing agency, like a legit one? Like, so we are doing, I'm learning all about marketing agencies. We're working with a brand strategy agency, a rebrand, like a rebranding company. Because I guess I have created an onion of a lot of brand confusion at Campus Inc.
Honestly,
you don't say.
We're like working with them once a week. And so what they're really trying to work with us on is like, okay, what is your, you know, like trying to basically sift through all the crap and be like, how are you going to like, who's your audience? How are you going to market? How are you going to talk to them? How are you going to look? How are you going to feel? Like everything. Have you guys thought to work with anyone like that or think about it like really strategically or gone down that route?
For Relentless a lot. We've had a bunch of meetings this last week. We have one company that I learned so much just being on their call and like they're like, hey, you guys really need to like currently you're IHOP. You can get anything you ever wanted from Relentless Merch. Like, and sometimes that's not a good thing. Like, and I always like you know, I hate going to IHOP because I can never pick what I want. Yeah.
Bruce is a Red Lobster guy. I want to be in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look, if a branding company says, look, you guys are kind of the Red Lobster of the space, I'm all for it. We won.
Olive Garden. I'll be Olive Garden. That's where I want to be.
But Nathan, what were you saying on there? Like, what were the recommendations?
Oh, just to like be more like in and out. Like, hey, like you have your hero products, you have the things that are going, that are your bread and butter. Sell those first, and then like micro the you know, the smaller details, the ones that you sell a little bit of and like, you know, could eventually be your hero product, but you kind of, you stick to what is your bread and butter, and then like have those differentiators like a little bit less obvious, you know.
And that's hard for us because we hate saying no. We're like, well, what if that church wants to buy shirts then? It's like, well, we got to have fun runs.
I think it's even looking at the music industry and the printers there. You have the printers that are like, hey, we only do metal bands, and then they get so many metal bands, and like we kind of realize with Relentless, we're like, hey, like we're kind of in this weird, like we have our buckets of clients, but we also like don't know, we don't advertise what our buckets are very well. Like we're kind of just a cluster of mess. But yeah, it's I don't know. I definitely get where your onion situation is though.
Just a tad. Just a tad. Have you guys ever thought about, okay, I've been thinking a lot about like bundling and packaging, right? Like, have you ever thought to put a bundle on the site of like, get 12 hats with your embroidered logo for 12 bucks a piece?
Instagram.
Have you guys tried to mess with that at all?
With Relentless, honestly, that's like, we're working on building out a more like rush order tees, Jack Prince style website solely for that. But we're realizing like Relentless is more of a branding like agents, a physical branding agency where we take care of if you have a full tour or if you have a kit. So it's hard to sell those like say we have a fire sale or a like a t-shirt deal. Like it's hard to sell those on the same website and showcase that. So we're like, do we start another name to like our click and buy site or
like a sub brand?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's even one of those things where, you know, you guys are decorators. So like, could you sell them on a tonal and be like, oh, do you want to decorate them yourself? Or we've got our decorating company Relentless. We'll just do it for you and ship them to your customer or something, you know? Cause I feel I don't know. Or do you guys not want to, you want to keep the hat company like blank?
It's kind of a tricky situation because, you know, I've considered getting into contract embroidery, but I don't know if I really want to sell to end users, you know, with this. I'd rather like hand it off to another decorator and let them decorate. We're at capacity with embroidery like almost all the time, you know, outside of like that, you know, month window that everyone experiences. But, and we just don't have enough room for another six head or multiple six heads. So if we bring in contract, that means that we have to expand to another building and, you know, add a team. Our team's currently 33 people. And it's just like, I know that that just creates more for me to do on the HR side of things. And right now I'm just like, can we keep Atonal and Relentless very separate?
Yeah. And honestly, I mainly just don't want other shops that are using our product to think that we're like trying to steal their business, you know, like, and I know there's some companies that do the contract route well, they keep it professional, but I think we would have to go solely 100% contract, to not make it a mess. And right now our shop is 99.5% retail. And, like, I just don't ever want it to be even a thought into like other embroidery or print shops like heads that we would ever like take their information and use it, you know.
That's a
weird connotation there, but I know Alpha Brothers dove into that, but
Just name names, Bruce. Would you? Who else?
I mean, that's an issue.
Knows and it. I don't know why we, you know, but
knows it, but it's just hearsay. So like that's how Bruce makes small talk. But you know,
it's a major issue.
It's well, a
like,
yeah,
for
it's,
example, like Culture sent me this like stuff that they sent, like a nice water bottle and things, and inside the label or inside the stuff was Primeline, and so. You know, and I don't know if it was like purposeful to like be like that because it was coming from them, but it was actually coming from Alpha. And it's like, and I sent him a picture and he's like, God damn it. But
yeah, I mean, Matt and Nathan, I mean, it's, you know, SNS Sanmar Alpha. Don't yep, compete absolutely. With us.
But there should be a big border between a customer and another decorator that doesn't have the ability to produce the 1,000 shirts that need done that day, you know, and you should be able to go to a contract decorator. But at the same time, like your customer shouldn't be able to go to that contract decorator because that becomes a major issue.
But so like, okay, you talk about company firewalls, like a firewall between this and this, you know, that at the top from a private equity standpoint, they're looking at it and saying there's going to be great, great cross contamination here. Yeah. I saw that with one of our licensing partners, and then I visited them and one of their offices was literally across the hall from the other. I was like, great firewall you got there, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's that thing where it just kind of feels weird. You're just like,
I prefer not. It does, but yeah, to your point, it does make sense in a way of, oh yeah. Like, why wouldn't you make this simpler for the end customer? Like maybe the end customer doesn't necessarily care. So this makes it quicker, turnarounds quicker. You know, we could pump stuff out,
but and I think the position thing, you're go ahead, Nathan, we're going to say,
oh dude, I mean, I think my thing is, let's just kind of, you know, state the elephant in the room, but like, I think Alpha needs to have a separate company that they sell direct to customer. Like that'd be fine. Like if they had like a 4-imprint version of that where they could get, but right now they're getting that contract rate. As long as you have a tax ID number, and it's just messy. And, you know, we love Alpha. They've done good for us and we get a lot of stuff from them, but yeah, it just becomes a big conflict of interest if we sell their promo and then it says Primeline on it. And then my customer can find their information and just go direct to it and save, you know, that money. And, you know, I'm sure my parents or somebody that knows me is going to be listening to this, but, and doesn't know about brokering. And, but like brokering is a legitimate service and it's like, promo agencies are a legitimate service. And there is a necessary need for them, to avoid errors, to avoid, so many things that, it's okay to have brokering, but yeah, it's just, it's messy right now with certain companies. So,
but what about the end customer? Do they, I mean, they know they can get stuff elsewhere too, but like, I think that's maybe half of the business is the service aspect, right? Where they enjoy like, oh, you guys take care of them. You get it done. You know, you'll hustle to get this stuff done last minute, whatever it is. But at the same time, you know, if I Google, you know, bulk stickers, bulk water bottle, but you know, whatever, I could find a million vendors.
And yeah, I think that there's people that want the service of getting just pens, right? But there's also the people that want you to help curate. And one company that kind of sticks out to me is, I don't know if you know Limitless Manufacturing. They're in LA. They're like my significant other calls them a hype house of like brokering of screen printed brokering, but they just kind of help you build the brand. And that's what like Relentless, we're definitely trying to be more of brand builders. And then, yeah, if somebody wants to get on 4-imprint and order pens, that's totally fine. But yeah, you're definitely right about that where, you know, it could just be easier, but also, I don't know. It's messy.
Yeah. It's like, A, kind of annoying, but B, I guess who cares?
All right. Give us some prediction. Give us, because I think we're going to run out of time here. Give us some predictions of where you see a tonal a year from now If you want to be public about your numbers, you can, but we'll set a reminder. You know,
lay
year.
It down here so yeah. we can send an email. I'll schedule it.
Honestly, right now we're kind of like looking to double what we did last year. I'm not going to name any numbers, but yeah, we're just trying to grow. Either way, we're going to be here. Like, we're pretty, you know, when Matt and I start something, we don't stop. Like, it'll happen one way or another. Atonal's just going to be here, even if you don't like me.
Okay. Bruce, 10 million, write it down. 10 double next year.
10 million. 10
yeah.
million.
I'm scheduling the email now.
No, this is fun. I think what you guys are doing is super cool. It takes a certain person to be brave enough to do it, but I think your story is really, really interesting. And I feel like the industry will prop you up because you guys have done a ton for it. And it's a cool story and community thing. So cheers to you guys.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Cheers to you guys too. This podcast, I'm not trying to gush, but we listen to it a lot. We send it to our sales team. Like, you guys, what you're doing on this podcast has been dumb helpful. So thank you.
We're pretty dumb sometimes. We hope we yeah. can be helpful. But
this podcast is super dumb.
This is fun. Go for it, Bruce.
Go to atonalheadwear.com. You can get a wholesale account there. You click wholesale and you can fill it out. Matt, Nathan, respect to you guys. It's awesome to watch the journey, and we're going to keep following on. Heads up in the footer, the Instagram link doesn't go to the page. All right, pronouncers, we'll see you guys on the next episode of Pentabo Pronouncers Podcast. Have a good week. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.